welcome to another edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. Sorry for the delay. I don't quite know what happened. But it's 45 degrees and cloudy here in Brooklyn, New York, and it's 10:36. So we like lost 6 minutes of the show, and I tremendously apologize. I had a great weekend. Talked to a lot of friends that I hadn't spoken to in a while. And everybody is struggling, basically. Well, one guy didn't say he was struggling, but he's an older guy. He's got to be in his 70s. A good buddy of mine I've known for about 30 years. We used to work out together. He's a martial artist up in Detroit. And we were talking about another martial artist up there, Kalindi Iyet, who passed away a couple of weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago. And I was talking to another martial artist yesterday who had informed me, and I had no idea that Kalindi had passed. He was a fixture in the Detroit martial art community, and had done a lot to promote African martial art, which isn't as well organized as Japanese martial art is. And I used to work out with a couple of his students who worked at a restaurant across from Wayne State University. I used to eat at. It was a greasy spoon, but the food was cheap and hot. So I used to eat there practically every day when I was still up in Detroit. I have a love-hate relationship with Detroit. I really do. You know, on the one hand, you know. And the other thing is the reason I would never return to Detroit is simply it's too freaking cold up there, man. I mean, you know, now is the time to be in Detroit with the real estate market so soft. You know, you could, you know, really get a lot of deals. And I don't have a lot of friends up there. I know a couple of people still up in that area, but I you know, martial artists mainly, I decided you know, it's best to stay where I'm at, you know, simply because my son is in the area and he's still school age. And I don't want to uproot him, and I don't want to, you know, have to restructure the business in that manner. So it's not a good move for me right now. Like I said, the other part of it is that you know, Detroit is just too freaking cold for me to even seriously consider. Well, last week, Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Bark, a.k.a. Clues to Cloud, decided that musing aloud about ingesting disinfectant to cleanse you, inject you inside, quote-unquote, is something that Deborah Burke, who he was talking to at the lectern, where he was standing there, is something that the quote-unquote doctor should look into. Then he came out a couple of days later after the backlash and claimed that he was only being sarcastic. Well, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. And I'm being sarcastic. But we've lost 60,000 people in this country, and the toll is still rising because you have governors that aren't complying with stay-at-home order or the recommendation to stay at home and socially distance. And as a consequence, their states have never managed to, quote-unquote, flatten the curve. They like to pay lip service. One thing about, you know, a certain segment of this country, they like to pay lip service to certain concepts. But the concept that seems to elude them is one of self-sacrifice, that we're in this together. You know, I'm struggling just like the next guy is. I mean, I have no income. None of my vendors are paying, but everybody, not vendors, my customers, but my vendors are still want money. So I have a negative balance in my business checking account, the whole nine, you know, because bills are still being paid, albeit automatically. I'm still having a problem with T-Mobile. They decided to inflate my bill again. I caught them red-handed, and then the woman wants to lie and say that she didn't do it. I never told her to take it off, which is a lie. I have the emails, and I sent her the emails, so she decides to ignore the email and continue on telling me, well, you can ask me to take it. No, I'm not asking you anything. I've already asked you months ago, and you're going to refund the money. So they decided not to cooperate, and I filed a complaint with the FCC. So as a matter of fact, as soon as the radio show is over, I'm going to follow up with that this morning. Because that was a whopper of a bill, you know, and they like to engage in these games, I mean, you know, and force you to deal with people that you don't necessarily want to deal with, and that's how they do, you know, very unethical, and I haven't gone on social media and lit them up like I did initially, but I'll see if I can work through it. If I can't, then they're going to get lit up again, you know, because they are liars. And the one thing I can't stand, people that know me personally and professionally know I can't tolerate. I can tolerate a lot, but lying is not one of the things that I can tolerate, you know. You tell me outright lie, and we're done. You know, because you don't have to, you know, salve my feelings. I'm a big boy. I don't need you to tell me a little white lie. Because you feel my feelings no, my feelings are not going to get hurt. I need to know the truth, and I need to know what's going on. If you want to engage, especially as a company that's charging me money, want to engage in these little machinations, then, you know, that's problematic for me. So, you know, what I was talking about to one of my buddies yesterday, I don't typically call a lot of people, I really don't, because I feel like this here. I feel that if you're friends with people, they ought to be calling you. And this particular guy, he got annoyed with me because he invites me to a lot of events. I never went. And, you know, he just, you know, gave up. And I'm not going to do that again. The next time he has an event, I'm going to go. Because he said it was a great turnout. He said it was over 100 people. And that's the community that I spent a lot of my time in. As you well know, I'm a well-known martial artist on the East Coast. I'm not, by any means, stretching the imagination, the best, close to being the best. I don't want to say that. I'm just somebody that's been around for a long time in the martial art community, you know, since the mid-70s. You know, I've been plying my trade, you know, going to tournaments and, you know, fighting, learning, you know. And I carved out a nice little niche for myself doing self-defense. That's my strength. You know, and everybody went, well, what's the difference? Isn't all martial arts self-defense? Not necessarily. You know, some people, you know, like you have arts, you know, like traditional Japanese arts like Aikido, which is strictly defensive. So, you know, that could be considered self-defense, but not necessarily self-defense as we define it in the martial art community is being able to offensively employ techniques that you know to fend off an attacker or to initiate attack. You don't necessarily have to fend off. You can actually initiate it if you feel that your life is in danger, this, that, and the other. And, you know, we just had a really, really interesting conversation because we were talking about another martial artist, really famous, not at liberty to disclose his name in the radio show because, you know, he has a large following. And I doubt seriously that his followers listen to the show, Mark and Pulpit in National New York edition. Nevertheless, you never know, and I've gotten in trouble about that before. So he had a little problems with law enforcement at some point, you know, due to things that he was doing that he ought not have been doing. And went to not jail, went to prison for a little stint. I don't know how long he was in there, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, something like that. And you know, we were talking about, because the one thing he used to always talk about, I trained with the guy. He's world famous. He's really well known. And the one thing he used to talk about or say often is that, you know, well, your technique looks nice or whatever, blah, 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 but can you fight? And there's something that's straight out of, you know, something you would expect for somebody that came from that environment, out of that environment, because, you know, like he always explained, you know, once you're in there, you can't get around anything. You know, if you're in jail, that's, or prison, that's, you know, you can't expect the guards or whatever they call them in there to come to your defense. You know, you have to fend for yourself. And if you have no self-defense skill, you're going to get hurt. It's that simple. It's not a nice environment. You know, it's full of criminals and crooks and, you know, murderers, you know, mean people. And they will hurt you in there. And he had to apply his knowledge. So, interesting, you know. I guess he fended all right. I don't know, you know. But, you know, the thing is, and this is what I tell my students is, you know, I don't care how good you are, you know. Don't look at the movies. Forget about that. Yeah, I've been a martial artist all my adult life, you know, and I'm, you know, on the edge of old age here. I just moved from middle age to old age, you know, a few months ago. I'm telling you, as I tell my students at the martial arts schools that I used to own and operate and train and teach in, that you can mitigate your injury by training hard. Same thing that my instructors taught me. But you're going to get hit. I don't care how good you think you are, or actually are, you're going to get hit. That's a fact. I had a friend, he's a preacher now, as a matter of fact, but used to be a correction officer, or work corrections in New York City some years ago. As a matter of fact, I gotta send him a text at some point today. See how he and his family are doing. And, he was a Kishu Shinkai practitioner, which is a hard Japanese style, you know. I don't know the full lineage of it. I know that the guy that created it came over from Japan probably in the 70s. You know, a lot of them came over here and started schools in the 70s. But, you know, martial arts has been in the United States since the late 40s. And we see evidence of that in the movies, which is something that we do, you know, we write for and try to produce, or at least some sort of, we haven't gotten into the stunt aspect of it, but that's something that we might look at. Wouldn't be for me, before my son, if he wanted to, at that point where he attained that degree of proficiency. But the evidence that martial arts has been in the movies is, I believe it was James Cagney, was a judoka, judo practitioner, and demonstrated some judo techniques in the late 40s. And at some one point, judo was actually taught to the Marines or in the Marine Corps. There is evidence not evidence, but the training command, U.S. Army training command, I believe they had reissued or implemented self-defense or hand-to-hand combat training back in the curriculum. They had it in there early on in the Army. I would assume the Marine Corps and the rest of this the services, Air Force, Coast Guard. And Navy, and took it out for whatever reason. You know, they were doing, like, perfunctory. And I was like, well, how can you not have martial art training, hand-to-hand combat training, and you're in the Army? You're going to rely strictly on your weapon? What if you become disarmed, lose your weapon, or your weapon runs out of ammo, and you're in a hand-to-hand combat situation? It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, I was gratified to hear that they had put hand-to-hand combat, I guess that's what they call it, back in, you know. And I had a friend I haven't spoke to in a while that retired or is in the pro. I don't know if he retired, but he said he was. Lives. And wanted me to train DEA, not DEA, Custom Border Protection. He works for CBP. In hand-to-hand combat techniques. And I didn't want to do it, you know, because I didn't want to go through all the clearances and that sort of thing. He said he could walk me through it, but first of all, they have two places that they train, and one is Quantico, and the other is down in Georgia, I believe, or Alabama. One, and I didn't want to go to either place, you know. I don't know whether the money was good or not, but that's not what I do full-time. And, you know, this was the guy I didn't understand why I wasn't enthusiastic about it. That's something that you want to do, but you're not a martial artist, which is why you needed me. And I wasn't going to allow him to stunt me because, first of all, he's an embarrassment. I have hung with the guy for years, and I've never sold him a gi for $200 at one time. Never, ever seen the guy get on a mat, ever, ever. And he's out of shape. You know, he's a year or two younger than me, so he's not a young guy. And he's woefully out of shape. If you look at me, I have the body of a, you know, I'm not in the shape I ought to be, but I still have the body of a 30-year-old, trust me. And as soon as I step up my game, if we can ever get out of this pandemic, which is something that I want to discuss, but we don't have a lot of time because we got a late start this morning. I plan on hitting the gym extraordinarily hard, you know, especially the aerobic stuff. You know, strength not so much because you know, I don't want to be a bodybuilder. At one point I did, but you know, I'm old now, so there's no benefit for me going in there and lifting, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds for doing reps of weight. For what purpose, you know? So I just want to basically make sure I maintain what I have. And and optimum health as a consequence. So that's what I'm looking to do. But what I wanted to touch base on in the few minutes we have left, and we again apologize for the late start, is the fact that, you know, we're in a new normal. People don't seem to they don't want to understand it. And a lot of it is driven by white privilege. And we talk about this, the racial aspect of it, because I was on social media yesterday, and, you know, some white liberal got on there talking about, oh, you're talking about race, because I was talking about the Puerto Rican, you know, how the mayor of San Jose, I think she's the governor now. I don't even know if she's the mayor anymore. Well, she might still be the mayor. Was on social media talking about no one in Puerto Rico. No one. I'm not talking about just, you know, persons on Social Security. She said absolutely no one has gotten their stimulus check yet. I said, well, you know, welcome to the club. But I used the other part of it because I have, you know, I have a problem with the Puerto Rican community, you know. 80% in the decennial census. I don't know what they did this year, but I'm sure it's the same because they're foolish. or the 2010 census marked white for race. And you know, and I know, and everybody knows that you have the right to self-identify as whatever you want to. It doesn't mean that other people are going to share that. You know, it's just like the other analogy of a man deciding, you know, big, burly, bearded guy. And you see this sort of thing. I see it all the time, man. You know, it's just that's a new normal, too, you know, deciding that he wants to wear a dress and be a woman. I mean, you know, this is the foolish stuff that we, you know, we have to endure, you know, because in this country, you know, everybody has a right to self-expression. But in the case of Puerto Ricans, you know, they cut their noses spite their face because in their zeal to flee from their niggeritude, they have cut off any advocacy or collaboration or chance for alignment with the civil rights organizations. Because nobody will touch them with a 10-foot pole because they feel they're white. So my point on the post was, well, you know, you guys are white, so you'll be all right. Because Chump and Cass is going to ensure that the white community is well taken care of. And so this woman, you know, true to form, you know, tried to take me to task, and I, you know, easily put her down because I said the same thing that I'm saying now, that, well, you know, they can't have their cake and eat it too. You know, it's not a matter of them, you know, because they were trying to ignore me and make the point they wanted to make, which is that, well, they're American. That's not the point I'm making. We're all American if that's the case, but race drives everything in this country, and only white liberals and their pet Negroes don't believe that. So you have a lot of sold-out Negroes, you know, in positions of authority that do nothing. I have it, you know, with my house on the Eastern Shore. A lot of Negroes in positions of authority and don't do anything because they're scared to death of the white folks in the area. And I haven't gone to, you know, I haven't really, you know, made any waves, you know, beyond a few letters, you know, expressing my discontent with decisions that people are making that materially impact me. But at some point, that's going to come to an end, and I will. But right now, I'm not in a position to do anything except grin and bear it, and that's what I've been doing. But, you know, I think these people are as dangerous as any. And we're going to talk about that in the coming weeks, but meanwhile, irrespective of what your state says, you know, unless you live in deep south state where they're forcing you back to work, be safe and stay inside. And we'll be back next week, same bad time, same bad channel, right here, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition, with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. Have a great week.